from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster, who ideally I'm like the, you know, the best pair of like warms those super puffy socks, except around bedtime. You know the socks you can wear around the house. I don't know if you have that. I mean, I do, but hopefully I can be that thing for you. By the way, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, and I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme.
Odoo, modern management made simple.
I want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode and did the theme music. Scotty and Jennifer and Kenny, honor our work. Jonathan Mann is on Lullabies. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. And I want to thank the moderators. Summer, I want to thank, who's taking a little time off. But I want to thank Stacey, Lauren, Keith, Julian, Jennifer, and Sarah. And to probably take me, thank you so much for your service, Summer. All the other former nods and current nods. Thanks so much. And let's keep the show going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, weather, routine. Whatever it is, it might be keeping you awake. Let me take your mind off of that to distract you. And I guess I'll introduce you to the podcast. I guess I got mixed. So I'm going to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, all that stuff I just listed. And what I mean by safe place is I'm going to, you know, make it really comfortable and nice. Hey, welcome. Come on in. You don't, in this safe place, you don't have to take a number. Recently, well, let's come back to that whole taking a number thing. Because that's not what we do here. You say, hey, there's limitless room here within this podcast. Infinitely comfortable, cozy space. And you say, is that a paradox? I say, this whole podcast is an enigma within a paradox, as we say around the well-worn tropes club that we got over here in this one corner. Yeah, but there's plenty of space for all sorts of stuff. Any of your interests, we got room here. But mostly it's just comfy. We got all this comfy, cozy stuff. I'm glad you're here. But also we have a bedtime storyteller that, oh boy, that's me. What I'm going to attempt to do is take your mind off stuff. But really, I'm trying to keep you company. To put you at ease, if you're new, earn your trust over a couple episodes to see if you say, well, this podcast does help me. I kind of like it. It's not bad. And if you're new, here's a couple things to note. You don't need to listen to me. You could just barely pay attention, or you can listen. Believe me, I'm trying to make sense the whole time. It's just my natural ability, inclination and ability, and just, you know, who I am. I'm a rambler. You know, there's all these country songs about rambling and, ramblers and... But I think they meant rambling out on the trail, which I would do. If I was on the trail, I'd be rambling. If I'm on a horseback, I'm rambling, or I'm keeping to myself. But on this podcast, I'm here to ramble, to keep you, so you don't need to listen to me. That's the thing. Like, if you're out on a trail with somebody, imagine if you could have them rambling, like, in a way that you say, well, that puts me at ease. I'm not listening to them. It puts my steed at ease. Steed at ease. It kind of rhymes in some way. And again, I'm trying to think of what book we, if we had a book and we titled it Steed at Ease, I think it would be like, let's say, you know, there used to be TV shows with talking animals that weren't animated. I don't think there was this one with a horse back. I think this was before I was born, but on Nick at Night, they would have recaps called Mr. Ed. And all I remember is that Mr. Ed was a talking horse. And I don't know if like Barney Fife or somebody, I don't know what Mr. Ed did. If he was an investigator or they were an investigator or whatever, what they were doing, like looking into stuff or just making jokes. But I think if a book like Steed at Ease would be like the reflections of a horse, you know, a racehorse that became a poet laureate or something like that, or a Nobel laureate, or just a, like you say, gave up the laurels for laureates. That could be a subtitle. I mean, it needs a little massaging, but a Steed at Ease. Yeah, or a massage therapist, but I don't know if who's lend themselves to giving massages. Though it could be like a massage therapist to supervisor. Or maybe that'd be a new thing, like there's tapping. This would be hooving. Be give a whole new meaning to the word behooved. You'd say, I've just been behooved, and it felt, oh my goodness, once that steed at ease, at the right, you know, they found a new way to cushion hooves, gave no, what are those things called? Shoehorns? Horseshoes? What am I talking about? I think it was in the middle of, and now I'm imagining a horse massage, like doing that, like massaging my back or kind of, like educated. Maybe that would be it. They would read, like if it was a laureate, it's also giving me some sort of massage and a poetic message. They call it, that would be a twofer. We guess they got four legs, so anyway, if you're new, believe it or not, you don't need to listen to me. You believe that? I go off topic, I get mixed up, I talk about stuff, but you can listen if you follow that. You say, how would it, what would it be like a talking horse, second act, third act, whoever that person was that says there are no second acts, I usually remember who it is, but now I forgot. You say, well, there you go. This horse is on their third act. Racehorse. Well, first, show pony, maybe. Racehorse. Went to school. That's an act. Then became a laureate, a multi-laureate, and then started a massage institute. Also was an act, one a point B, point C was a distraction in a sleep podcast where there was a flash forwards and there wasn't any flashbacks. So I guess the show pony, you're right, being a show pony was a flashback. And they said, this isn't a pony, this is a steed. Okay, but we're putting the, I didn't even mean to do that pun, but we are putting the cart ahead of the horse here, because I'm still trying to, if you're new, so you don't need to listen to me. You also shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. I don't know if I was, it just carted you, but, I'd like to cart you off to dreamland and put my cart in front of your thoughts. So you say, well, I'm kind of following where this cart is going. It kind of seems like it's going somewhere and nowhere at the same time. I already forgot the title of the book, but I already thought of the, a sequel, a Steed in Need, A Steed Takes Heed. It could just be a series of books that are never written or published. The Imaginary Bookshelf. That'll be one of my autobiographies. A Steed Takes Heed. Okay, so let me get back. So you don't need to listen to me. No pressure to fall asleep, though. I'll be here about an hour to keep you company, to take your mind off stuff, like banter. Talking. We're going to go into a bedtime story here after I get done wrapping this up. But if you can't fall asleep or you just take your time. I'll be here the whole time and send my voice across the deep dark night using lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, which you've already witnessed plenty of. But all to keep you company, to take your mind off stuff and to help you fall asleep, because I'm your boyfriend here in the deep, dark night. And let's see, I think I ran out of gas, just like a horse. Structurally, I guess we're pretty far in the structure, but if you're new, just so you know what to expect next time you listen. Show starts off with about 6 minutes of business or less, ideally. Then that's how we keep the podcast free. Then we have a 12-minute intro, which we're 9 or 10 minutes into, where I ramble and kind of introduce the topic of the podcast, try to introduce what the podcast is. I don't introduce it. A topic comes up. Two topics came up. One came up, I said I would get back to that, and then I forgot what that was. I tried to introduce the podcast. It got a few sentences in.
And then the next thing you know, I meet a well-educated horse, and that changed everything. That might be good dialogue for the horse to say. Sorry about that. I can't remember the title either. Steed, what did I call it? A steed takes heed. No, that, now I can't. A steed in need. A steed signs the deed. That would be after, like you say, well, after the fourth book, it was steed signs the deed. That was really a steed's creed. That one, oh boy, Scoots went off the rails by then. And then he had the one, the steed makes mead. And that one was just like weird. It didn't make any, like he traveled back to the Middle Ages. And everyone in the Middle Ages had never seen a talking, educated horse. The former, like, racehorse, former show pony, former laureate. They didn't even know what a laureate was because it was the Middle Ages. It should have sent them back to, like, whenever laureates were around Rome or whatever. And they said, we're just looking for a horse to ride around on. And the steed said, well, I make mead. The greatest, well, I'm going to learn how to make mead, and then I'm going to make the greatest mead you've ever seen. They say, well, how'd you travel in time? They say, well, it's asleep. Anyway, so I'm going to go off topic, but I'm here to help. I'm here to help you fall asleep and to be a little silly, because really what I want you to do is be like to not have to dread bedtime. I've been there dreading bedtime. And it being rigmarole. And if this podcast can maybe add some levity or just a distraction where you say, well, I put Scoots on. I don't know what the heck he's talking about. Mr. Ed, or like next day, maybe at work, they say, yo, George, you still listen to that sleep podcast? And they say, you say, yep, that's why I look so darn great today. So what was he talking about last night, that pod guy? He was talking about, I don't know, I woke up and I was just saying a horse is a horse, of course. And then I said, then I started just watching old Nick and Knight trailers on YouTube while I ate my breakfast. So I don't know what he was talking about, but I know I slept good. So that's how the podcast ideally would work for some people. But if you're new, it doesn't work for everybody, but I hope it works for you. I work very hard because I'd like to help you fall asleep. Thank you for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's time for, I guess, like a trending Twitter Tuesday episode. Like a little recap. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I've been on an adventure. Oh, boy, have I been adventuring, like adventuring totally. And is those of you that are new, you might not know how my adventures normally start. So I'm going to fill you in. If you're a regular listener, this would probably be fun. But like most of my adventures, now if you're new, you may or may not know this, but I spend a lot of time making the sleep with me. And so I don't like sleep with me like it could be considered a job, a pastime, and a hobby with the amount of hours I work at. But you still got to have... like they say, well, geez, you can't keep sustaining something unless you have something to refill you. And there's also this idea, like, sleep with me is found an audience because people say, well, I was looking for some weird bedtime stories and you fit the bill. Or for a friend, like, we have a shared sensibility, kind of. And the internet is one of the great things about the internet is that, like with certain sensibilities and neutral ones, it can bridge the cross cultural and distance boundaries. So people with very small interests can find other people that have the same interest and share it. And previously this would be done, but it would just take a lot more work. And so a lot of regular listeners know that, yeah, the way I recharge when I need to, is I hang out with my dog, Koa, K-O-A is my dog's name, Koa. And we kick back, like, let's say it's Saturday night, and on Saturday night I record a podcast, I get done around 10 p.m. or something. And then I say, okay, I'm going to go to bed at 11 or 11:30. And I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And I look at Koa. And then we do what our pastime and our hobby is, which is listening to Knox, K-O-N-O-C-K-S, Knox. Like when you knock on a door, that's considered a knock. And my dog and I's hobby is listening to Knox, Knox, like knocking on a door, but we just call it Knox, I guess, which is shorthand for knocking on a door. I mean, if we are really desperate, we'll listen to people knocking on tables. But that's like a different, this is people knocking on doors. So let me clarify that. If you're a fan of people knocking on tables or objects, I guess that's a different niche or pastime, a slightly different hobby, tangentially related, maybe adjacent, but different. And I guess I would say that's an important distinction because, to respect both pastimes or to laugh at it, like, Scooch, you're kidding me. What the heck? But yeah, let me paint the picture of, like, the recent Saturday night that just passed by when my evening was interrupted by adventure, kind of holiday adventure. But a big adventure, but we'll get to that. So, Co and I sit down, we say, okay, let's fire up some Knox. And, you know, now that I have the podcast, I'm lucky enough to get some Knox. Now there's amateur Knox and then there's enthusiast Knox. And this isn't against any amateur knockers. But like, is it like, I mean, I guess it, like I would call myself a knock enthusiast if I'm really like, it's just a small distinction, like between someone knocking on their door and recording it and sending it to me. Like it's a nice act of kindness and whatever, like, but that would be like, and this isn't a value judgment. It's just like, that's an amateur knock, or a knock, like it could be an incidental knock recording, but that sounds more intentional. And like, you can, believe it or not, most of the time you can hear the intentions behind those knocks. So as a knock enthusiast, and I've talked about this in other episodes where this hobby comes up, but like you're either looking for a very intentional experience or like recorded, not like raw knocks, that are like real knocks recorded live. And again, like, not really too much of a privacy thing, but like, there's like, whatever, there's like wild knocks and there's intentional knocks recorded by knock enthusiasts. Or, you know, people, I don't know, like probably like hand actors and, you know, Foley artists, holy cow, like a couple of the great, anyway, I don't want to go off too off topic, but so as a knock enthusiast, those are my two preferred types of knocks consumption right now. Now, before the internet, like when I was just a kid, like, you know, a lot of teens were doing cool things. You know, I was tracking down knocks or recording my own, and any knocks I could get my hands on, just like a magazine in the woods, if you know what I'm saying, under a rock, just like that, like in a different way. I'd say, you got any knocks, I'll listen to them. You know, you meet maybe an exchange student in school, or you go to college. I was lucky enough to go to school in New York City, so I had a little bit more. And that was like when back in those Unix days where you could like go over to those forums or whatever the heck they were called, news groups. And then, but you know, it's also not exactly like you don't want to go to the top of the Empire State Building like I did and say, I love Knox, because people don't know. They say Knox, like Knox gelatin. And some people that are knock enthusiasts, it's an individual pastime. I don't know. You know what I mean. You're on the internet. Everyone's got something they're into. But me and Koa, we like to sit back. We like to listen to the knocks. We'll play them on the stereo. And usually lately I've been doing it Bluetooth. And then we'll play it once and then we'll look at each other and play it again, or we'll play a series of knocks. If it's, it just depends on like the recording, kind of like a mixtape, like when you're getting these things from other enthusiasts. And to address a couple other things, like, Scoots, are you kidding me? Or have you totally gone off, gone Borneo or what? I'd say, well, are you serious? Like, I'm seriously trying to put you to sleep, so kick back and just imagine me and Co. And if you have to replace it with something normal, you say, well, okay, we're just listening to the fire, or we're listening to vinyl. I mean, people listen to vinyl records, so like, that's considered normal, right? Or whatever, we could be watching anime, whatever it is, playing video games, but Co. and I are listening to Knox. And if anybody listens to the podcast knows, I just like, I tend to have a soft spot for Eastern European knocks. Also, I do write erotic knock fiction, you know, inspired by my enthusiasm. I say, well, let me get my, like, let me take my two favorite hobbies, daydreaming or, you know, the more other version of daydreaming, or in knocks. So I started writing some erotic knock fiction. And still my most popular one is Eastern European knocks. I can't talk about any of that. And you say, where can I get my hands on your erotic knock fiction? I say, well, send a check or money order for $4 million to, and maybe some people have heard of Hollywood knocks, which I heard they're trying, you know, they're making a parody of that one. But whatever, like, so I do, that's another thing I do, but not when I'm, you know, this is just listening. and we were listening to some Knox, recorded, like high altitude Knox. That's all I can say. I don't want to say any more. And we were just chilling and, thinking about the holiday season, thinking about turtlenecks and listening to these knocks, because, high altitude, you can start to picture stuff. And, the altitude and the temperature all affect how the knock's going to sound, and they affect the human hand, and they can give you a sense of place and whatever. So we're listening to these knocks. I think that's enough about the knocks. TLDR, my dog and I listen to recorded knocks as a hobby. Yes, I'm a knock enthusiast. Also, yes, I'm sure you could believe that I write erotic knack fiction for my own perusal. Or if you're if you're some billionaire, reach out to me for multi-millions. I'll write you into a character, Dirk or Diane Knack or something. The knack that rocked. I never thought about doing rock and roll knack diaries, but there you go. I just thought of my next series, the knacks and knack the rock and the knacks. Okay. Yeah, with tour buses. So there you go. There's my next series. So available for millions of dollars for private consumption. Yeah, so sitting there listening to the knacks. And what always happens when we sit down to relax is the adventure begins. And this time was no different. We're listening to the knocks, and then there's always a knock at my door. And Koa gave me a look, and I looked at her. I said, what is that, a Jennifer Aniston knock? And the only reason I thought that is because earlier we had seen something where Jennifer Aniston was knocking on a door. And, it just happened to be able to pause it. And Co and I were did she really knock on that door? Or was it a Foley artist? And we couldn't figure it out. It was so flawless. But this knock sounded like it. But then I realized it was a knock on my real door and not a recorded knock. If you don't listen to knocks with your dog, use headphones because your neighbors, luckily I'm already it's handled by living near me, but when they first move in, they say, what the heck was what are you playing, a video game over there? They say, oh yeah, totally. It's like a point and click. Drifting on the driftwood. That's what it's called. Really, because it sounded like people were knocking on doors. Oh, yeah, it's like a Sherlock Holmes-style mystery. A lot of door knocking because you're asking questions. And then they used to say, oh, really, I got to write that? No, you don't need to write it down. Don't worry about it. So anyway, there's a knock at my door. So I go to my door, open my door, and who's on the other side of the door but one of my favorite elves from the North Pole, Spackle. And so let me fill you in if you're new. Spackle, S-P-A-C-K-L-E or something, is an elf, works in the North Pole. The elf that works in the North Pole, very high-level elf that works on more broader issues of solving, bringing together elven peoples, high-level stuff. So I knew this was important. But I said, Spackle, how the heck are you? I haven't seen you in ages. So we did a little catching up, a little gabbing. Yeah, but Spackle had a serious, but Spackle said, what are you, listening to Knox? And I said, of course. And Spackle said, thank goodness, because we need you. And I said, we the royal we, you and Santa? And Spackle shook Spackle's head. And I said, Spackle, you got any bad holiday advice? Spackle said, we got to save the holidays, as a matter of fact. And I said, what do you mean? And Spackle said, the holiday spirit has been, we need you. We need you undercover. And I said, who's we? And Spackle said, come on, get into my present. Spackle travels by present. Like a giant present box. So I said, listen, Co, I paused the knocks. I said,
You know, I set up with somebody to make sure come check on my dogs. Didn't know how long I'd be gone for. And I said, I'm probably headed into some darker universe or something, Co. So, actually, I said, I'll leave the knocks playing for you. She said, like, what? Were you talking to me? I was listening to these knocks. I said, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll leave a bowl of food and water for you. And so if I'm not back, and then Co said, what? Are you still talking? I'm listening to these knocks. I said, okay, don't worry. I'm just going to have, I'm going to leave a, like, and Co said, what? Sorry, can you rewind those knocks? And I said, you better hope that merger Time Warner or whatever doesn't mess up your our internet. Went on. And I said, all right, I got to go. So I went out with Spackle, and we got in this present. And then the present had a trouble starting or something. You know, it's like kind of like a portal, which I think, like I thought, as soon as you got in and put the lid on, like a giant box, a wrapped gift. And I said, like, but it didn't go into work immediately. It didn't start working immediately. And Spackle said, don't worry. It's a beta test. And give it a minute. And I said, okay. And I said, so Spackle, are we headed to, is Rudolph's nose out again? And Spackle said, no. And I said, does Santa have a cold? Does he need someone to fly the sleigh? Roberta Claus? And Spackle said, no. And I said, you said something about the Christmas spirit. Do they need an example? It was probably not me, but is a Christmas light need to be relit or something? Spackle said, no. And I said, well, then what is it, Spackle? And then Spackle said that Elon and Dan needed my help. And I said, you mean Dan Harmon and Elon Musk? And Spackle said, yes. And I said, well, is one of them Santa? And Spackle just looked at me. And I said, are they like a Voltron? Like, is that what it really is? Like, is Santa split into two and has returned to the world? And now they need me to fuse them back together to be Santa for Christmas? And then Spackle tried to take my temperature, and I said, no, Spackle, he said, I can't stop thinking about Dan Harmon and Elon Musk anyway, being best friends. It's like my dream come true. So I can't wait. Are we going to go meet with them right away? And Spackle silently, Spackle then tried to shake the present to get it moving. And I said, am I going to be working side by side with Dan and Elon in some sort of secret lab, where they're Spackle said, no. And I said, okay, are we going to save Christmas? And Spackle said, you have work to do. And then Spackle said, hold on. And Spackle started punching some buttons on Spackle's phone. And I just started thinking about, so I'd seen this picture of Dan Harmon in Elon Musk a while back. And, of course, it made me think, wow. And then Dan was talking about, meeting Elon Musk. And, of course, everybody's saying, well, those two should be best friends. It starts solving the world's problems. So it made sense to me. I guess the only thing that didn't make sense was that they needed my help. I was like, oh boy. But of course, my ego was like, let me get in there. Maybe I'm secretly brilliant. I just don't know about it. So I said, well, maybe this whole fusing them back into Santa Claus really, but Spackle said no to that. And then I started I said, Spackle, so am I going to be working with one of them? Because it would be tough to choose. I said, are they going to be I said, whoa, this is cool. And Spackle just looked at me and was sighed because Spackle's waiting for something to go through. And I said, Spackle, where are we headed? And Spackle again shook the box. And I said, I guess I'm not very good. If I would have put my foot down or something, said, if I'm not going to work with Dan or Elon, or you don't give me some answers, count me out of this present, or why are we sitting in a box in my driveway. Yeah, that's not good. This doesn't make any sense anyway. Last time we went in a box, I think it was a portal to another world. And then a truck came and picked us up like a courier truck. And the person, it was a wicked struggle to get the truck in. And Spackle said, you know, shit, don't make any noise. But finally the person got a dolly and got us in, went up the ramp and put us on. And then the truck started moving. Then I fell asleep because it was very nice. Because it was like a kind of a velvet lined box, and Spackle smells like pine something. And I was a little bit warm, and I'd listen to those knocks, and the truck was moving, and it had a nice white noise. So I fell asleep for a little while. And then, of course, hours later, I woke up, and Spackle wasn't in the box, and I pushed off the lid of the box, and then I hopped out, and I was in a big storage area. And I heard typing and stuff, and I hopped out, and then I saw Spackle at a computer, and I said, "Is this Elon and Dan's secret lab?" And Spackle said, "No, this is the freaking transfer center." And Spackle said, "The situation's escalated." And I said, "Well, what? Can you fill me in on some details?" Or I wanted to say deets. And then I said, okay, don't ask when you're going to meet Dan and Elon again. And I get to hang. I said, maybe we could hang. I said, if I help them, if this achieves victory. And then Spankle said, this is part of a process, not and I said, okay, so it's not this isn't a one-shot deal. This is a new gig for me. And I said, again, are they going to fuse back into Santa? Is that, or maybe are there just the two of them? Or do they not know? He said, is that it, Spackle? Dan and Elon were separated. They were Santa's, two of Santa's children. And they were separated at birth to preserve them. And 50% of the Christmas spirit was in one and 50% in the other. And Spackle again. And he said, Spackle, work with me here. You I listen to Knox for a hobby. What did you expect? Some sane, if you wanted a sane person, you could have gone, I don't know where I don't know where those people are, but probably at the movies or I don't know. And Spackle said, "Okay, let me fill you in." He said, "Okay, Dan, and let's see what I can say too." Okay, a lot of this I'd say is in theory, in the realm of possibility. So Dan, this is what Spackle told me again. This is an elf who sighs a lot. And also I just woken up, so I was groggy. But according to Spackle, at some point Dan and Elon started thinking about what other world's problems could they start to solve. And they were at lunch and they were thinking about all these big things and... then they were walking back to lunch, and Dan was joking, and he cracked Elon up so much that Elon was doubled over in laughter. And as Elon bent over, Dan saw this sign for a missing puppy that said, you know, missing spot, last seen here, it goes by Spot. Again, I'm changing the names to protect the, And Dan said, what if we found Spot? And again, this is I don't want to reveal anything, but, Elon dried his tears of laughter. And then they both shared stories of pets. And then they, both their subconsciouses and their primary, their intellectual brain, their emotional brains and their subconscious were all churning, boing, 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 boing. And then they were connecting with these formative moments in their lives with pets. And they said, think about this, and this is brilliant. And again, if you have a pet, this is a little life hack you could stick in there. There was a animated drawing of a girl who was a pet, Spot's owner. So when Elon and Dan found this, allegedly according to Spackle,
they said, holy mackerel, like, and they said, you're right, let's go find spot. And they spend the rest of the day, well, normal people would have spent the rest of the day between the two of them, and they were really having fun. I think they gamified it, and, you know, Elon loves to laugh, and Dan loves to make people laugh, so it was like, you know, they called in, you know, other help from both of their teams. Elon's team's all covered by NDA, but like Cody and Spencer were, and Steve, I think, were helping Dan out. And they tracked Spot down. And then I think they had Steve bring Spot back because they said, okay, like this will be like an anonymous return to Spot. No reward. Reward is in itself. But then they couldn't shake it. So this is like months ago. Like they couldn't shake and they kept texting shit. Remember when we found Spot? That was great. And Elon would say, hey, Dan, remember when you said like, you know, something like blah, 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 made me laugh. And then Elon would, you know, spit milk out his nose, even when he's at home in front of his family. And everyone kind of got sick of it. Like they said, you two, like, they got sick of those two talking. And they said, if you guys love each other so much, why don't you just go into business together? And again, it was like one of those things where that one part of your brain holds on to it like so long that you can't deny it. And they said, man, we're thinking of all these big ideas. What if we start finding all of the pets in the world, all of the missing pets? We track them down. And they had some reality checks because they're like, I think they're both realists too. So then they ran some numbers and they said, well, and then they thought about the emotional resonance. They said, well, geez, what is this emotional impact going to be? And then they thought about the inefficiencies of the market, which I don't even know if there is. And then Elon started saying, like, okay, to reaching out to his team, they say public-private partnership, that's a word that's popular. And they said, is this a solid, like, I guess that's issue one with these two people, like, that are a little more advanced, like Dan and Elon. They said, is this a problem that needs solving? Yes. Is it a solvable problem? You know, what would success look like? These are all the things that successful people do, I think, maybe. But it also goes down to, will it be fun? Like almost like a hobby. And they said, okay, yeah, let's allot this amount of time. And Elon was also thinking about like all these technologies, and Dan had been throwing all these other, he said, well, if you do this, you know, I always imagined this, and they started thinking of, like, again, and a lot of this I can't talk about, but at some point, because Spackle told me, they started, like, working at it. First, just themselves, and they started taking data. And one thing they learned is that it never got old. Like, going and finding the pets, it didn't ever get boring, in that there was all these unexpected challenges. And, you know, it was hard not being able to return the pets themselves, but they said, well, that'll be really, like, and then they were trying to figure out, like, the press started asking, and Elon said that he was replacing telephone poles. So stay tuned on that one, because it, like, and then he started thinking, well, what if we got rid of telephone poles? What in the heck, what are those things still up there for? And again, I don't know how many technologies are going to come out of this or entertainment properties. But so they had everything figured out. So they started like with the great, and then they started doing research into other, like across the world. And then started making deals like with local places to say, okay, masking everything with, you know, pet buddies or whatever the heck, I don't know what they call it. And they said, Spackle, what in the heck are you, like, you're a Northern Pole elf. Like, what in the heck are you doing involved with all of this? And how can I help? Holy cow, what a dream. So I'm going to be, like, the lead on helping Dan and Elon solve lost pet problems. And Spackle said, no, that's already resolved. They solved that problem.
They're just trying to figure out if humanity's ready for it or not. That's the one question they're still waiting on, and they're just running tests. But otherwise, everything's ready to go. And I said, so they need me to weigh the needs of humanity and make the final call. And I said, no, don't respect. I said, finish. Let me finish telling you and filling you in. And I said, Spackle, shouldn't we get in, like, get to action, like, and also, why were we sitting in that present box for so long? Were we waiting for some sort of, and Spackle said, okay, police, and I said, okay, I said, let me check my phone and make sure, because, and I checked in on Koa, and she was still just sitting there listening to Knox, but someone had come by and let her out, taking her for a walk, my brother. And then I tried to make it, like I said, what if my dog went missing during all this? And Speckle said Elon and Dan would find her. And I said, oh, okay. I said, Speckle, what's a market inefficiency? Like, again, like, that's just something that's a pain in the butt, right? Could you just call it a pain in the butt? And then Speckle said, okay, so... And I said, okay, let me fill in some blanks to get us moving. And Speckle stared at me like I was a big blank. But I said, okay, so Dan and Elon Musk become friends, start solving the world's problems. Realize what a great problem to solve, missing pets. They also realize the joy in solving that problem. Then they start to address the actual solving the problem, both in the micro and the macro. I don't know the difference, which, you know, the big and the little, like finding one pet versus all the great issues combined in that, along with the technological hurdles or like whatever. And Spanker said, are you going to take it? And I said, okay. And then they solved the problem, at least on paper or physically. And Spanker said, the problem solved. And I said, okay, well, boy. I said, when did you get rid of the telephone poles? Because they said, and one thing is they smell good when they're in the sun in the summertime. But okay, so they solved the problem. They're just waiting to see if humanity's ready for the solution. I said, like, in some, and they, the Spackle said, no, just, you know, like, I said, okay, like, oh, does it give humanity, finding a pet, like, is it an individual? And this, I said, okay, Spackle, you're obviously trying to move me somewhere else. I'm just trying to figure out where we go from here. But I said, obviously, some complication comes that need, oh boy, yeah, some complication. That even Dan Harmon and Elon Musk can't solve happens at this moment. It must still lead to them being related to Santa Claus, though, because you're a North Pole elf and you're here. And that only somehow I can solve. Do they need to be put to sleep to be fused back into Santa Claus? Or do they need me to soothe them so that they both can accept the rule as the Santa Clauses? I said, wow. And then my brain thought of the answer, which was, does the solution? And then Spackle started talking, but since I'm narrating, it's kind of the same thing. Just like maybe Spackle gets the point easier. But Spackle said, exactly. It turns out that the technology is actually the perfect technology for the delivery of the holiday spirit and the return of Roberta Claus now. So I said, okay, I thought Roberta Claus only lived in my mind. And Spackle just laughed, patted me. I said, but I'm awake, Spackle. This isn't a dream. And I said, also, can I get a clause in my contract that I could call Elon Muskypoo or Muskie? And then Spackle said, okay, so it turns out that the technologies involved in solving the solvable parts of this great humanity we face as people, missing pets, also would be what could make North Pole a new reality. Because, you know, like with people forgetting that Santa Claus is real and then Roberta Claus becoming Santa Claus, so she is Santa Claus,
And then people saying, well, I don't like Scoots' idea of Roberta Claus replacing Santa Claus. I'm not comfortable with. And I said, would you think people in America would be more comfortable with Roberta Claus, a female Santa Claus, or two people fused into one Santa Claus, or just Dan Harmon and Elon Musk being like Santa and Claus? But Spackle said Roberta, and I said, okay. I said, sorry, Spackle, I get excited about all this. When's it going to get to my part, though? And Spackle said, don't worry, don't worry. And Spackle said, this seems like the technology to reinvent Christmas and deliver Christmas joy, at least this part of the story, Spackle said. And so they said, everybody at the North Pole, you know, as soon as those two became friends, everybody was already jazzed about it because they felt like something latent had awoken. And again, Spec said, please don't go off topic with fusing those two into Santa Claus. They said, like, once they started to see, you know, because they can watch, you know, the North Pole's got the monitoring stuff. They said this whole pet thing was a way to reawaken all of this. And that, like, especially with Elon and Dan, you know, coming at these problems from different angles. And then also Dan finds it like, it's like, oh, Elon's good at this one thing. But Dan says, well, geez, like, we can give it this narrative element. And then it has much more impact when we think about this kind of tube with this magnetism and all that stuff. But basically, Spackle was saying that, like, okay, they said we could actually, okay, here's a spoiler alert. That maybe it's not technologically possible. That reason you have to buy presents isn't because of like some military industrial complex, you know, thing, but because it's just it's a pain in the butt to try to get all the presents from the North Pole distributed. This is one way of looking at it: market inefficiency, and that really they could make free presents in the North Pole and distribute them it with Elon and Dan's new technology that are delivering pets. Believe it or not, this has all happened in the past few months. Because, I mean, this is just the way, like, our technology goes nowadays. So Spackle said everyone at the North Pole was like, holy mackerel, this is it. I mean, 2018 probably. But we could do some beta testing of delivering actual presents other than the token, you know, thing with the sleigh and the reindeer. And then they got a hold of, like, you know, the rest of the team that doesn't take my phone calls, but, you know, Glenn Greenwald and Muskie Pooh, Eddie Snowden, and also who I would love to do a podcast with, Robert Reich. They get Robert Reich up there. And again, like, and I said, you had Robert Reich, Dan Harmon, and Elon Musk in a room together. And Spackle said, yep. And I said, holy moly. And so Robert Reich was in charge of the economics of it, of saying, what's going to be the economic impact if we start giving out free presents to everybody? Because now it's a technological reality. Oh, also, if you're listening, this is all top secret. But it turns out, like, this is only one part of the story. There's still 8 minutes or so left here. But just remember, you know, stories change. But we were at, this was the cusp of what happened, Spackle said, was that, Robert Reich said, we could run some tests to kind of see, and we could watch these economic indicators. And then they said, okay, maybe we got to bring in some, like, philosophy. Because they said, what's this, like, how is the impact of modern belief systems? And it all looked pretty complicated, but doable and achievable. And to say that the North Pole was jazzed would be an understatement. Everybody was like, holy cow, this is going to be the cat. We can finally deliver cat's pajamas. And I said, that was an idea from my podcast, Spackle. And Spackle said, well, actually, and I said, well, I thought of it, just so you know. But it's just, so they were very happy. It just said it was going to, but then everybody, like Reich, Dan, Elon, Roberta Claus, a.k.a. Santa Claus, Spackle, they all had this suspicion, you know, they said, like, because that's why they kept going back to, well, is the world ready for all this? And when your gut says that, it really offers you, and they said, even for these beta tests, and then Roberta Claus called them all into her office, and she said, sit down, let's really chew this out. And they all had to look at this forlorn look. They had solved the great, two issues that people weren't even trying to fix. And Roberta Claus said, walk me through this again. And then she said, she said, I listened to, how you two, but she said, okay, the lunch. And then Elon told the joke. What him and Dan were talking about, they cracked Elon up. And Elon again, this time was eggnog, shooting out his nose, retelling how he cracked up on the, right next to his pole, and he was holding a telephone pole, and he was bent over laughing, and Dan saw the sign for the missing dog, and then they went, and then Roberta Claus was watching them, telling the tales, two taking turns with their excitement, and then talking about, doing it again, you know, how they couldn't stop thinking about, how happy it made them. You know, the little picture of the girl, and then Steve Levy talking about delivering the present, the dog back to the house. And everyone was like, holy moly. And they said, yeah, we've been Jeff Davis, everybody's and they were talking about all the different times, in LA that these pets they found, and then how that led to this, you know, their minds leading to, how do we fix this? And Roberta said, okay. And they said, what is it? Because she was just staring at the two of them. And she said, she goes, I see, you know, and they said, oh, it's so obvious. Holy cow. And they kind of had their arms around each other anyway, because they were, chummy. And they said, well, what do you think, Roberta Claus? And she said, I think we better go. And so then Roberta Claus went back to L.A. with them, and then they, went and found a telephone pole. And even Roberta Claus said, what the heck, if there's no tell, what the heck's a tell, it's an internet pole or whatever. But then they found it was a turtle named Wordle or something, and they went and they tracked this turtle down. And she, Roberta Claus, got to experience the joy. And then they said, you won't believe this, Roberta Claus. Watch what happens, with the next one. What if it's not successful? Because Dan was like, one time me and Cody were looking on bikes, and we couldn't. And so they went to one, and it was a cat. And then they said, call and say, this is where you looked, but you couldn't find the cat, but you're hoping. And Roberta called a number. And she said, geez, I'm sorry, I've been looking for Fluffy, Fluffernutter or whatever. And they said, oh, Fluffernutter came home last night. And Roberta cried because she said, holy cow. Then they did it again with one that was they said, wow, this is such a, there's so many. And then Spackle was kind of looking at me. And I said, what are you looking at me for? I said, is Robert Reich really Santa Claus? And then Spackle shook back. I said, Spackle, I was thinking that the present was going to be one of the Muskie's tubes, like a spiral grapher or whatever they're called. And Spackle shook Spackle's head. And Spackle said, I have a gift for you from Elon and Dan and Roberta Claus and everyone at the North Pole, because we actually like you. And they said, what about Robert Reich? Does Robert Reich, or I don't know if Elon, does any of them know? And I said, don't worry. I want you to get in this next truck that's headed out. And
You get, and I said, what do you mean? And Spankle said, I think even you will figure it out when you're in the truck, because I'm going to need you to knock on some doors. Here's the keys. And I got in this truck, and I started it up, and then I thought I was hearing noises. So then I looked in the back of the truck, and in the back of the truck, in this luxurious way, were there's three dogs, some sort of like iguana, and a Persian cat. And then I looked at a clipboard that was next, like in the console, and it had a map, and it had the names of the pets and all the houses they needed to be returned to. And I got to drive through LA, and I went to the first house, and I knocked on the door, and you know, to maintain privacy. It was the five greatest knocks of my life, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. The iguana kept staring at me. Like I said, are you cross-eyed? That was before we got to the house. But it was, the name was cross-eyed. Some sort of, a kid named it. But I kept calling the iguana cross-eyed. But, you know, when they talk about the holiday spirit, the Christmas spirit, the New Year's spirit, the spirit of Thanksgiving, the spirit of gratitude. Now, I don't know what it's like to solve the world's problems like Dan and Elon do, or, you know, to look at economic, you know, say, have a Reich-like mind of economics, or to be Roberta Kloss, someone with the courage to take the reins of Santa Claus. You know, I don't know what it's like to have tube systems or, you know, to do all that stuff. But I do know it's the greatest gift I've ever been given was being a chain in this link of helping, helping everybody out. And I think actually the reason Spackle sighed so much is because they accomplished everything in a way that was achievable. Don't quote me on this, because this is all beta testing, but, you know, without having to produce anything at the North Pole, they produced a holiday spirit in my heart and other people's hearts. And I hope in your heart too, because it's the season to say, hey, let me help. Let me push that cart for you, or give you a wink and a nod, or, you know, ask you way too many questions when you're a North Pole elf to sleep in present boxes, and to smile and to say, wow, how lucky are we to live in this era? It's not easy all the time. But I appreciate you listening or drifting off. And I hope I can help in my small way, because I know how many people out there have helped me, and I'm very thankful for it, whether I've thanked you or not. Thank you so much, and good night. Well, thank everybody that reviewed the show for an Apple Podcast. Sav, love this podcast. It takes me hours to fall asleep, but since listening to Sleep With Me, I fall asleep in 30 minutes. I highly recommend. Thank you. Patty, I fall asleep before I know what he's talking about. Going to sleep after a really late night working used to take forever. Now I'm asleep in 5 minutes. Rocket the Cast Boss says, or Cat's Boss says, Bob Ross is sleeping. Dude is great. Pleasant stories that are somehow creative and put me out like snuffing a candle. Addicted to After the Glass, Slipper series of stories. They'll only catch up on them the next night when I'm given a synopsis. Thanks. Thank you. How about Section 6? A brilliant idea. When I first started listening, I didn't think it would work, but it always puts me asleep. I'm using it now before bed. I'm going to start donating in a few months. Thanks. Thank you. Brooke from Canada says it definitely works.
It helps me go to sleep without fail, but I don't play it in the background. As I sleep. Yeah, they just use it as a podcast to fall asleep. Thank you. Peanut Stellar says, well, it's different. 5 stars from the UK. Unsure first, but it's great and it works. Don't know what else to say except try it. Mom Bossy Pants says, you can't go wrong. Give Scoots a try. Even if I'm not able to go all the way to sleep, the meanders have me laughing, which wakes my snoring dog. But most times I fall asleep. Witty, lightning fast play on words displays how much it takes to make it work. Thank you. Become a patron. It's worth it. Thanks, Mom Bossy Pants. Yes comes from BC Ira. 954. I was skeptical at first, but had this not been around during a tough summer, I wouldn't don't know what I would have done. Great, became a patron. 100% recommend for anyone with ADHD or anxiety who can't shut their brain off. It doesn't always work the first time. Give it a few tries before you quit. Unique and wonderful. That comes from Chris 10. I love this podcast exactly as described. Thank you. Thank you. Maria, this podcast is a gift. One of the best things the internet has given us. Thanks, Maria. Enriched my existence. Also hilarious. Godsend. This is from Hints Are Amazing and I Want More. Podcast amazing. If I get to sleep and I want to stay asleep, podcast is my go-to. Keep them coming. Thank you. Belle from Australia says, too many ads. So they signed up to get it without the ads. Thank you. It takes a few to get used to. Original content works. They don't enjoy the TV recaps. Started donating. Because of the two original content podcasts. Thank you. Works for me. Atheist Test from Canada. Works for me. And Scooter shares my admiration of Captain Picard. Great. Aaron, E-R-Y-N, says works every time. And normally I have no troubles going to sleep, but if I do turn straight to this podcast, works first and every time. Sometimes I don't make it past the intro. Sometimes I do. Love the tangents. Opens up to someone else's mind instead of dwelling on your own. Thank you. Furry Firefox says, best ads I've listened to. This is the only part I've ever heard. I've got real bad insomnia, but this works right away. Never made it more than 10 minutes in. I assume the stories are good, but the beginning's all I need. And finally, Sunflower says, thank you. We discovered podcast 10 months ago. Thank you. Your rambling nonsense puts me to sleep. I became a patron because your podcast works better than other stuff I got to take. More Nuns in Space. I love about the soda machine. For anyone reading this as a review, this podcast works really great for me. Had a hard time falling asleep this past year, and this podcast is just interesting enough to distract from life's challenges, but boring enough that I don't care if I miss part of it. It's perfect. P.S. So I usually listen to the rest of the episode the next day. Yeah, thanks for helping me fall asleep and be functional. It means a lot. Thank you for listening, Sunflower. And thanks to everybody who went out of their way to review the show over on Apple Podcasts. Thanks and good night. All right, but this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict,
for this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes, and nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Wildy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.